And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 23 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me today is Chris. Chris, how you doing, man?
Hi, doing all right. Ready to talk some Dynamite.
Oh, good. Yeah, after today, I think I am ready to talk some Dynamite, too. So, before we begin, what's the usual question I ask?
Did a VP win?
No. No. Did you see Dark? And the answer is, of course you saw Dark because you were there for
it. Yeah, I was there in person for it, indeed.
I did not get to see Dark. So, Chris, take it away.
Well, my experiences with it were, just to summarize it and keep it very simple, it was very much a developmental type of show this time about in terms of the matches that they had. I thought that Hikaru Shida's local talent named Abaddon did really well, with Hikaru Shida selling pretty well for her the sort of like supernatural-esque gimmick that the local person had and still made it work into a decent match. Jimmy Havoc did things. Luther attacked him after to build their little AEW Dark feud at this point, I guess is the best way of calling it. And then you had a good main event as well between Private Party against Sonny Kiss and Brandon Cutler, where Private Party picked up the win. Death Triangle attacked everybody in the aftermath. Best friend Joey Janela tried to come in for the rescue, got his ass beat, and then Best Friends and Orange Cassidy finally were the ones to make the save, which sets up a match that we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show.
So El Triangulo de la Muerte making their presence known on Dark, even.
Indeed.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Pac was just literally on the mic saying, "No happy ending for you," as he was beating up on everybody in the process, too, which was pretty funny. So
that's some good shtick right there. I do have a question. What are the odds that – is there a non-zero chance that we get a death match on Dark between Luther and Jimmy Havoc?
I could see it happening just as a means of having an important enough main event within that show that they've built to using that show. It'd be smart somewhere down the line here.
All right.
Because it seems that's the route that they're heading, so you might as well.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I mean, they may as well. I'm sorry. I just got a special message, a meme sent to me saying, due to the coronavirus, all workers must wrestle like Orange Cassidy.
Phenomenal.
I'll have to send that to you later.
Good stuff. Yep, let's do it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's been kind of the theme of today, hasn't it? Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. So with that, we go live. Episode 23 of AEW Dynamite, live from the Maverick Center in West Valley City, Utah, in suburban Salt Lake City. Unfortunately, due to work shenanigans involving said coronavirus, with many emergency meetings happening today, I missed most of the first hour of Dynamite. So, Chris, you got to take the lead on this.
Yeah, certainly. So, we did start on our spectrum of things with they were backstage actually initially with Hangman Adam Page. Tony Schiavone was just going, "Hey, he was your partner for tonight." Hangman kind of kept it close to the vest. Young Bucks show up in the process. Hangman basically says, "I would rather team with your more talented brother in Nick rather than you, Matt, in a million years," kind of thing, still keeping their entire chicanery going. Don't know who the partner is.
So it seems to be mostly with Matt Jackson is the issue then.
Yes, seemingly so. I mean, it's both of them, but I think Matt way more so than Nick in that circumstance. So,
Dang.
but yeah, partner tonight's a mystery. And then we go to your opener, which is Ortiz of Proud and Powerful, and of course of the Inner Circle, against Cody Rhodes. The match itself had your kind of back and forth between the two, where you had Santana interfering for a little bit here and there as a distraction, Brandy counteracting as a counter distraction. And at one point or another, none other than Jake the Snake Roberts and Lance Archer walk in and sit themselves at ringside, just casually observing.
Oh, ha. It's like I was onto something last week.
Kind of just makes you wonder why it didn't specifically happen last week around, but alas.
When he was advertised, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but during that whole process, the fight does spill to the outside, and to a certain extent, the Archer almost gets he gets a leg over the guardrail, and it seems like he's about to get in there himself, but Jake talks him out of it, brings his leg back, so it's just, again, very much observational. Eventually, though, Cody works Ortiz's leg in a couple spots in a row, locks in a figure four leg lock, and gets the victory. What a surprise, a VP winning a match.
Wow, that never happens on this show.
No, totally not. But in the aftermath of the match, Santana does lay Cody out with the mad ball, with, the socks and baseballs thing. Yeah, Arn comes in to kind of get in the ring, and it looks like Arn's about ready to square up himself too, but then Matt Jackson and Kenny Omega kind of make the save in the process. Then we go backstage where Chris Jericho is with Jake Hager, Maga Chud, and Sammy Guevara calling Cody out. Basically saying, hey, we told you that we'd be putting this entire roster on notice, and that at Blood and Guts, they're going to beat the basically, just beat the shit out of them as per usual. I think it was Pumpkinhead Dipshits, I think is what he called them this week in the process of that. So,
there's a movie that has a line, you little pumpkin pie haircutted freak or something.
I can't recall it, but that does sound about right.
I don't know what movie that is.
But yes, as it turns out, Nick Jackson was nowhere to be seen throughout this, and we find out why, because the camera pans out, and Nick Jackson is on the floor lying under a garage door, bleeding from the mouth with a close at his head. So, Inner Circle basically gets out of Dodge, the rest of the Elite guys go backstage, and then we spend the next bit basically with Nick being loaded into the ambulance, and then Cody and Matt driving away in a separate car with it as they come back from commercial break. From there, we go into a tag team match, which happens to be the number one contender for the women's title, Hikaru Shida, the number one three contender, Chris Statlander, against the champion, Nyla Rose, and Bea Priestley, who we haven't seen on TV for quite some time. Good tag match that the four of them worked together there. Definitely go out of your way to see that one. Everybody did their parts within it. At the end of the day, though, Nyla Rose surprisingly ends up picking up the pinfall on Hikaru Shida at that with the Beast Bomb. But the interesting part of that is that immediately after the post-match, Bea Priestley attacks Nyla Rose, floors her, stomps her a couple of times. Holds up the women's title, so starting to set up something here for maybe that our next challenger for Nyla's throne might not be who we expected it to be,
Did
kind of thing.
do you think maybe with Britt doing the heel turn, maybe now B Priest is doing a bit of a face turn?
No, B was still getting booed regardless of what she was doing there, so I
Even
wouldn't be
when she was
surprised if.
stomping down Nyla?
Yes. So
Okay. Well, maybe
a
not.
part of me just thinks specifically that it'll be Bea Priestley just shady heel tactics against champion who just likes to break people, which Nyla Rose can play that without any issue, so.
You know, not, again, you know, if there's one thing I have a complaint, well, I mean, we have several complaints about how AEW does its storytelling, but one of the biggest ones is that their face heel dynamics are wacky world. Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, very much so. It's kind of like your mileage may vary depending on what you like to cheer for, basically. So, but from there, this was about the spot in which you came into the fold, Jeff, from your stuff, because this was the aftermath of this. Did have a certain recap of Dark Order Business in a vignette from, in that same style, but Christopher Daniels basically parodying the entire thing.
Yeah, Christopher Daniels of SCU, of course, the Fallen Angel, doing a Dark Order Sucks video promo, mocking, you know, the ubiquitous Dark Order videos that we all fell in love with before they actually had to wrestle, and then they kind of ruined the whole thing. But, so, I mean, it was what it was. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it. It was just kind of there. You know?
Yeah, it set up a future plot point for a singles match between Daniels against either Evil Uno or Stu Grayson, I think. Or both, I guess, depending on when they...
Yeah, I think he called them both out. He basically just said he'll do a singles match with one of them or both of them anytime, anywhere, including this parking lot. But basically he's just saying that there is no such thing as the Exalted One, but they're advertising that for next week in Rochester.
Indeed.
So, as well as a few other things. Moving on, the next match we had was, Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt up against, MJF and two of his associates, The Butcher and The Blade. This was kind of an interesting match as, they did a lot of, work on Luchasaurus's knee and leg in this match.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jungle Boy got the hot tag though. That was something great. It is amazing how Jack Perry has evolved.
He compared to last year, especially, just so much improvement.
I mean, and he is over. Luchasaurus is over. Marco Stunt is even over, even though they're never going to let him get a win in this promotion. And today was, you know, no exception as MJF submitted him with that armbar. I think the salt of the earth, they call it.
Yes, and credit due where credit is due as well, because Butcher and Luchasaurus brawling was a fun little bit there, as well as Butcher throwing Marco Stunt into the cover to break it up as well, too, when you thought Luchasaurus had it won on MJF.
That was good. You know what? The interaction with MJF and Luchasaurus at the very beginning of the match, I really like, because MJF realized he really bit off more than he could chew.
Yeah.
With that one. So, of course, you know, it turns into a fuckfest between, you know, Allie and Wardlow being out there.
But it does buy in the fact that between that and weakening Luchasaurus' knee enough does lead the cause to, you know, the smaller competitor being the prone position for the heels to take advantage of it. So it's a fuck finish, but at the very least, it's one that accomplishes something with the variables rather than just being like wacky all over the place for the sake of being wacky. That makes any sense.
No, I feel you. And sorry, I just realized I've yawned twice. I've tried to mask it, but if it came through, I apologize. Like I said, it's been a day in this world that we live in. It's been a day. Moving on, we have another Darby Allin against Sammy Guevara video promo.
I mean, he's not done with the Inner Circle guys by any means whatsoever, which, again, it makes the Blood and Guts event in 2 weeks' time far more questionable in terms of who should be on the other side against the Inner Circle more and more with the kind of stuff that we've been seeing the past few weeks, and then even tonight with stuff like this. So,
well, I mean, let's table that for a few minutes. But,
sure.
Because I have some points I want to bring up about that. We then go to another Tony Schiavone interviewing Britt Baker. This interview was not great.
Utah jokes happened, which, well, We figured, but then Big Swole pops up.
Big Swole definitely popped up. So we're getting a feud between those two now.
Indeed. I just thought the ending of it was hilarious with Britt trying to play the your boyfriend wrestles on TV and that's the reason why you're relevant. And her and Big Swole immediately showing her rock and going, I am married, baby.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, that was
And
Yeah, I was like, yeah, about that.
they go square up. So yeah, that will be a thing to
Yep.
look forward to. But from there though, we do go to what I think both you and I can agree was our match of the night,
Oh,
for
for
sure.
sure. Oh, yeah, beyond a doubt. Yes, it was a six-man match in which Joey Janela and Private Party, Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy, team up against our new favorite unit outside, outside of New Japan, El Triángulo de la Muerte.
Or Death Triangle for those who decide to go by the English saying. Personally, I won't judge. Well, I'll kind of judge, but not as judge as much as Jeff will. So,
Yes, I.
either way, but a very fantastic. The in terms of it, like the music mix, it's okay. But that new logo that they have on the Tron was just woof.
That was great. I loved Pentagon's mask this week.
Yep, the Venom.
I'm kind of over the half Venom look because I mean I know Bushi has done it to death,
Yeah.
and Volador Jr.
We've seen the symbiote in quite a few appearances within the wrestling lexicon,
I
but
mean, at least well, and let's face it, the Finn Balor demon. We all know that that's Venom,
oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
we all
That
know.
was
But
It's like we all know it was basically Venom Carnage, the symbiote whole thing was
yeah,
the inspiration
well,
for
I
it,
say
so.
at least I was gonna say at least Volador sometimes mixes it up and does Carnage sometimes,
Yeah, for
but.
sure.
But no, that mask was fantastic. Actually, I liked Phoenix's mask tonight too.
Yeah,
I thought that was good. But it is actually amazing how well El Triangulo actually does work well together.
Yeah, and I'll even say Janela and Private Party worked superbly well
They
on top of it
did.
as well
Oh,
too.
they did. They did. I mean,
I
yeah,
think that's what
both
part of
teams
what.
were clicking very
Yeah,
well.
this is what part of what made it as fun as it was. Everybody was hitting their cues on sync. You had a good amount of double and triple teams happening between both squads in the process there. Just high octane action throughout. Definitely match of the night worthy. Very awesome spot with the sort of like gin and juice setup, but into the Death Valley,
Right.
into the rolling Death Valley, but just extremely altogether. The ending coming with the spike Penadriver followed by the Black Arrow, just overkill, but the best kind of overkill.
It was the best kind of overkill. And yeah, it was amazing. Both units were clicking very well. And go ahead.
No, yeah, between those guys, you have Butcher, Blade, and then whoever else you can pair him up with, probably like an MJF or something akin to that, Jurassic Express. We're starting to see a lot of different trio combinations pop up here, which really
Yeah,
makes me wonder.
we brought that up last week, actually.
Yes, and then even more so now seeing these kinds of matches, a trios division within AEW would not be a bad idea, especially
Or at
because.
least a yearly thing, not to
Yeah, a King
compete,
of
not
Trios.
to compete with
Yeah.
the King of Trios, mind you, but.
Yeah, sure. But having their own version of it wouldn't be a bad haul to go in any way, shape, or
No,
form.
but can we once again note that there were very loud Cerro Miedo chants?
Oh, yeah. You're not gonna stop people from cheering for Penta and for Fenix as well. I think it's
Yeah.
just gonna be one of those circumstances where they very much are the allegiance that they are, but people are still gonna rally behind them because they just look cool.
Well, they
It's
look
the real
cool. They
cool.
wrestle great. Yeah, I mean, again, Pentagon's one of my top three wrestlers in the world. They have history, and yeah, and
Yeah.
them and Pac, the bros and Pac, they work well together.
They did.
And
And then you did have the ending as well, too, with the triple submission cross
right.
faces that they were doing on top of it before Best Friends and Orange Cassidy popped up for another save, which sets us up for next week, which exciting. So.
Yep, we have that next week, which will be Pentagon and Phoenix against Best Friends. I guarantee you it's gonna be a different result this time.
Yeah, I definitely am feeling that as well too, for
From
sure.
last time that they ran this. It's almost like they're doing a makeup feud.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, cool.
we kind of jobbed you guys out. We're gonna do this right this time.
Just redo. Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
At this point, we had an interview with Dustin Rhodes, which, hey, surprise, surprise, he's tired of the inner circle. Wow. Who saw that one coming?
Yeah, I mean, they only broke your hand, buddy.
Yeah, but so he has inserted himself as Adam Page's mystery partner for the evening.
Which is hilarious because the realization kind of came about, like, if he's doing that, then Adam Page didn't have a partner, did he? He was probably going to do it all by himself, just like Darby did last week around,
Yeah.
which.
Well, of course, in real life, Kenny Omega, I guess he injured or broke his hand
Yeah,
during that epic tag match.
yeah, it was a broken hand for him. I did find this out after a little bit after Dynamite last week around, but trying to recall, I just think that when we were doing the recording, for some reason it slipped my mind, but I do remember reading something along those lines that it was the hand injury to Kenny, and then that Nick had something with like a concussion or whatever it was, so
Oh,
something that
okay. Now,
kept
see,
him
that I
out of
did not
action
hear.
last week too.
Yeah, that I didn't hear, so.
Yeah, because he was not in action last week either. Remember, it was
Right.
just Matt running out,
Yeah, well,
so.
yeah, well, that I knew, but yeah, I didn't know there was what the reason was for them to not be there, so.
Yeah, don't take me at 100% on that one, but it is, I think, an injury of some sort that kept them out, so.
Gotcha. We follow that up with the hashtag search for Spears, some of the videos that were posted, and hey, Sugar
Which
Duncan
by
came in.
featuring. Exactly, by featuring Sugar Duncan and Mr. Brickster, that thing was already more popular than Sean Spears will ever be in his lifetime.
Hey,
So.
there you go. And again, shout out to our guy O'Shea Edwards, because he threw his hat in the ring for
Yeah,
that
put
one
his
too.
package on TV, you fucks.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, we want to see our boy O'Shea on AEW programming. So get the fuck with this, TNT. Come
Pretty
on,
much.
you can do this. But even so, Sean Spears, yeah, cut his contract, please, for the love of God. But anyway, so we come back and we get the blood and guts rule, the rules for the blood and guts match on the 31st. Well, no, wait, that can't be right. Not the 30. When is that? In 2 weeks,
It would
right?
be
The
the
25th,
yes, it would
right?
be the 25th.
Yeah,
Yes.
I don't know why I said the 31st. I don't know what I was thinking there. That's assuming we even get to that show the way things are going.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, while we were watching Dynamite, of course, we get the announcement that TNT content partners, the National Basketball Association, suspended its season.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, shit's wicked, guys. And I don't know. We may be getting an enforced couple of days off here. We've already had to kind of suspend our operations on Strong Style Story a little bit.
Yep. And
And
we can now confirm we're suspending them for the entirety of the New Japan Cup rather than just the first half of it. So.
So already our pod blast that we posted right before we posted Boom Goes last week's Boom Goes a Dynamite is already completely out of date.
Whoops.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, it's like every hour there's been something new, you know? Every
But
hour.
before, yeah, but before we
Anyway.
go to the main event, though,
Oh,
there is a quick sit-down interview.
well, wait, hold on, wait. So, time out. We didn't actually talk about the blood and guts rules, which, hey, surprise, it's the War Games rules.
Yeah, it's submission or surrender, guys.
Submission
we,
surrender.
We all knew this was
coming. Start off with two guys in the ring, and then you know a third guy will enter from each team. Yada yada. One team's going to get the advantage from an Inner Circle versus Elite tag match next week. I can guarantee you it's going to be the Inner Circle because it makes no damn sense for the baby faces to get the advantage.
Yeah.
You know, we know the format of this match, guys.
We've seen the playbook a couple of times.
We have seen the playbook just once or twice. Do you remember the War Games match? I think it was in 98, the three-way clusterfuck with between Team WCW, Team NWO Hollywood, and Team NWO Wolfpack.
I don't recall seeing it, but I'm probably going to have to most likely go down that rabbit hole because I'm sure the guys at Days of Thunder are going to cover it at some point, and woof.
Oh, yeah, they will. They definitely will. Yeah, at least it had a decent ending that led to one of the best Goldberg matches ever. So, you know, we'll keep that under our hats for now because we'll let our boys, Dave and Lee, take care of that.
Can't do that.
So on a related note, yes, as you were about to say, we had a sit-down interview between Jim Ross and Jon Moxley, who is not cleared to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, surprise, Jon Moxley is pissed off. Are you surprised?
Not at all. But it is interesting how he basically mentioned that, hey, with the Inner Circle being focused on the blood and guts thing over the next 2 weeks, suddenly Jon Moxley is in their blind spot, and yeah, they might be fucked because of that. So, you know, things to look forward to, kids.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're actually teasing, you know, with all the talk about the members of the Elite, but they keep getting, you know, injured and all that shit. I'm wondering if they're actually teasing Moxley to be in the Blood and Guts match.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows indeed. And with that, we go to our main event of the evening as AEW World Tag Team Co-Champion Adam Page teams up with Dustin Rhodes against Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. This match was okay, I thought.
Yeah, it's basically just continuous build now that we know Blood and Guts is in 2 weeks for the Inner Circle Elite encounter. You could still see Hangman trying to do most of everything by himself, with Dustin sort of having to reel things in at times and having to deal with outside interference. So, but you know, the boys did come back from behind there. A couple of stereo crossbar body to the inside of the ring onto Guevara and Jericho, followed by a moonsault to the remainder of the Inner Circle members from Page to the outside after was a big thing there. Then eventually you had the Canadian Destroyer transitioned into basically leaving Guevara wide open for Buckshot Lariat, which gives your heroic heroes a victory here. But they get jumped immediately after the bell, so, you know, typical.
Yeah, and we get not the first, probably will not be the last Inner Circle versus the Elite Schmoz, including Kenny Omega with a broken hand showing up, and eating a Judas effect in the process. Yeah. Cody Rhodes getting squashed by Hager, and then Matt Jackson, you know, saves Adam Page, but then flips him off in return for last week.
Yeah, and then gets a share to the head for his troubles.
Yep.
Followed by Hangman getting one of those as well. So again, just kind of proving the point that the Elite guys are not on the same page. The Inner Circle is mystery and drama. And tune in next week.
Yeah, pretty much. Tune in next week when we go to where? Rochester, New York, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, we kind of whipped through this one. I mean, you know what? For a two-hour show,
it was a good show, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of just, you know what? Yeah, I guess we'll just transition into the pros and cons then. So, go ahead.
So, for me, the obvious six-man between Triangulo de la Muerte against Joey Janela and Private Party definitely deserves a great nod in that regard. Along with that, I did enjoy the women's tag at the beginning of the hour as well. Hangman shenanigans with the Bucks at the beginning of the show, I thought was a good little humorous note. And then credit to the Jungle Jurassic Express boys showing out once again. Another consistent performance for the trio of them. Please do more things with them. We like them. We want to see them on TV more. So, yes, more of that.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, your cons, if there are any.
Cons wise, I would just say again, wasting time on Sean Spears, even though it highlighted some good indie wrestlers in the process of his whole search thing, is just, I'm not really here for it. Britt Baker, again, just being sort of super awkward and trying to draw reactions from the crowd and not really getting it to pop up. I get what she's going for, but I don't think it's resonating as well as they probably would hope that it does. And I thought the opener was okay at best, but again, typical Cody Rhodes needs to go over match, so it counts as a con for me. So, yeah.
I'm just gonna say that yeah, both trios matches on this card were great. Obviously, I am all in for El Triangulo de la Muerte. This is like the perfect unit, trio for me, in this company, and again, Janela and Private Party worked very well together, and I you know what? That was probably Joey Janela's best performance in an AEW ring so far.
So far, definitely, yeah, so far.
Maybe they should keep this up. I mean, if you have a winning formula, sorry, keep going with it. Also, Jurassic Express versus MJF, Butcher and Blade. Yeah, I enjoyed that show, or that match. Of course, I only saw part of the show, but honestly, the rest it wasn't really a con, except it was just the rest of the show was just kind of there, for me.
Yeah, it still felt like it's a good TV show that flowed through, at the very least, like flowed through and did the things that it needed to do as well. But it's a situation too where it's certain things will be okay, but you can't really put them. It's like, oh, these are pros or these are cons, kind of depending on how you are on it. At the very least, though, we can say that we watched this and we didn't go, well, just end this show kind of thing, like we were all those many weeks ago. So at the very least, AEW's recovered for us in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I have not been like, yeah, we have not had a bad show in a while. There's been a couple of mediocre ones where they were, again, just kind of there. But we have not had an actively bad one since, I want to say, what, January, I guess?
Yeah, I'd say January is about the right time.
Yeah, like the second or third week in January. Well, I think that it was the second week in January that we were like, this sucks. Wasn't it? That was the with the awful Riho and Chris Statlander match.
Yeah, believe so.
I gotta feel bad because that's twice now that Chris Statlander has had a bite at the has had a bite of has had a shot at the AEW women's title, and neither of her title matches have been good. I mean, the one with Nyla was okay, but there were extenuating circumstances behind it. But the one with Riho just fucking sucked.
And that was just mainly because of all the interference that kind of kept them from doing what they needed to do with it. But
Yeah.
hey, at the very least, ideally, give it a little bit of time, and I'm sure Chris will have ideally a very good match for the title sometime down the line, but there's other options out there, and let's see where we go with them.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, in the meantime, allegedly AEW will be in Rochester, New York next week. Yeah, but I am I would not bet the rent that it's going to actually happen, given how things are going in this country and all over the world right now. I mean, We haven't heard anything. It seems like wrestling, you know, wrestling in America is being pretty defiant right now about keeping its shows going.
Yeah, let's see what happens in that regard. So,
yeah, but I think we also know that that could, you know, lead to some bad shit.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes from here and if there are any updates regarding future shows before next Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll probably come at you with something in that regard.
Yeah, if there is, we may do a little pod blast here about it. So
certainly,
since we can't do our New Japan show right now, you may as well come along for this ride. And by the way, shout out to Tom Batista of the Military Industrial Suplex on this feed, as well as Johnny Sorrow of this feed, of course, of WorldCast. He was the interview guest on the Military Industrial Suplex this week in a 3-hour mega interview in which he admitted that he wishes us the best of luck in doing a weekly recap show, but he's never listened to an episode. So thanks, Johnny. We appreciate your honesty and candor on this matter.
At the very least, we can say that much. So,
now Johnny's good people, and I'm really, really looking forward to when the WorldCast returns to this network because that is one of my favorite shows on the network, and it's been sorely missed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess with that, that was episode 23 of AEW Dynamite live from the Maverick Center in somewhere in Utah. What was it?
Yeah.
West Valley City, Utah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Not
close to Salt Lake City.
Not quite SLC, punk. Mm-hmm. But sorry, that was a bad joke. Anyway, Chris, plug yourself.
All right. Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S instead of a Z. You can also check out my other podcast, Sax on the Sticks, Sounds on Sticks on Twitter. And starting as of episode 3, we will be officially on the Night of the Living Geeks podcasting network for that regard. Good friend of the show, John Pingle, who co-runs that, gave me and Jordan the nod, so we'll be posting from that point forward into that. We're recording episode 3 sometime this weekend, and Def Jam Vendetta apparently is going to be our topic for this one. So,
oh, wow.
Really interesting. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, that's something to be on the lookout for. Mm-hmm.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. My personal Twitter at GD Wessel. It's 2 S's 1 L. And then, of course, there is my other show, Busting Balls. We posted a show. We recorded it on Sunday. We posted it on Tuesday, and it was already completely out of date. Talking about what else? What else would I be talking about right now, Chris? COVID-19 and how it's affected football. And
and it has affected football immensely.
Oh my God, it has affected football. You know, I'm going to take this a moment here to grouse about something too, regarding that. Okay, so today Manchester City and Arsenal was supposed to happen. A match that was already postponed because both City and Arsenal had cup games. City had the League Cup final against Aston Villa, and then Arsenal had an FA Cup match against Portsmouth. And, so this match was supposed to happen, but during Arsenal's Europa League loss at the Emirates, they came in contact with some players had some incidental contact with the owner of Olympiacos, who also incidentally owns Nottingham Forest in England. And so because of that, these players are self-quarantining and they postpone the match. The punchline to this is that Olympiacos' match against Wolves, also in England, in the Europa League, is still scheduled to take place. What the hell?
Yeah.
I call shenanigans on that. But, of course, this isn't the show for it, but... Come on, guys.
Yeah, needless to say. If anything, we're just hoping that we somehow get through the next 7 days without this, fully affecting pro wrestling. And if we do, we will see you next week around
Well,
at this about this time, I would say, on
well,
Wednesday nights.
if we get to, if not, we're going to be doing an emergency pod blast talking about things. But yeah,
Yeah,
we're going to
pretty
see.
much so.
Everything's up in the air, so I guess I'm not going to say we'll see you next week because we may not, but we're going to try. We're going to do our best.
For sure. We'll see.
So
Ideally, we'll see you guys next week. If not, we'll see you sooner.
yep. Just be safe out there. Wash your hands, cover your sneezes and coughs. Be care
Absolutely.
and be careful. So we'll talk to you then.